Good morning, everybody. So today we will be singing Fix Our Eyes by King and Country. So yes, please enjoy. If you know the song, please sing along and join us with God's praise.
Oh, 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 hit rewind quickly, stand face to face with the younger me. All of the mistakes, all of the heartbreak, here's what I do differently.
Answer my advice. precious day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every hair. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody knows what day it is, right?
Yeah. Oh,
no, it's Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
And it is Sunday. So today, of course, we're remembering our mothers and all the great things that they do for us. And I want to just show you guys a little bit of what a mother has to go through. So I've asked Jenna ahead of time to volunteer for us. So Jenna, could you come stand up here in the center? All right, now let's see. I need maybe two or three kids to come over here and tug on Jenna's leg, and let's see. Go ahead, Joshie, Ryan, and Kaylee. Can you guys do that? Okay, tug on her leg and say, "I'm hungry." Now, just wait a second. We'll get everybody set up. Everybody's gonna be involved. Somebody, a couple of you, come over to her other leg and say, "He took my toy. He took my toy." So you guys come over here and pull on Jenna's leg and say, "He took my toy." Let's see. Some pulling on her arm and say, "I don't want to go to bed." Some pulling on her other arm and say, "I want some candy." And then anybody else can just grab a piece of her jacket and say, "There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do." So can everybody come over here? Basically, just annoy Jenna. Got it? Can you guys come? Come on. Yeah, you can do it. She said it was okay. All right. Come on, girls. You guys can come over and do this. Yeah, for Mother's Day.
What?
All right, everybody. Ready? Go ahead.
I don't want to go to bed.
Too many
candy. All right, and Jenna, how does that feel? Well, okay, everybody can sit back down. All right, so that was fun for everybody but Jenna. And what we want you to know this morning is just how hard and what moms go through. I mean, dealing with young children can be time-consuming and can be a little bit rough, Jenna, right? And they do so much for their families, and they're always looking to serve and love their children in any way that they can. So what can you guys do to help out your mothers, to help make their lives a little easier as they're trying to help you guys? What up? What do you think, Ryan?
Don't be cranky.
Don't be cranky. I'm sure every mother would love that. Zachy,
make breakfast for your mom.
You can make breakfast for your mom. This morning we have brunch coming for all the moms, so you guys could help serve brunch for them this morning. What do you think? You could do your own chores instead of just having your mom do everything for you. Do laundry. That's all very good. So you guys are on the right track. And one more thing I want you guys to make sure of this morning in particular is after the service, there's some flowers in the back. And I want you guys to make sure that your moms each get one. And there's going to be some other of the teenagers in the back helping to make sure all the moms in the congregation get one as well. So I want you guys to remember to do that this morning. Remember to help your mom. So let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the moms that you've given us and all that they do to help us and care for us and just show their love for us. And we pray that we can show our love back to them and our appreciation for all that they do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Let's see what we got.
I'm going to read a passage from 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read the first part of the passage first, and then we'll end with the last part. But I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 8 down to verse 26a. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head," he said to his father. His father told the servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "It's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Are you all right?'" He had Gehazi ask the woman. You know, I remember when I was young and in school, yes, I remember that long ago, that we were taught about how things were getting ready to drastically change. Quite honestly, technology was not something that we had access to, but it was becoming more prevalent in higher echelons, more and more commonplace in the business world. And we were assured in school that with all of the advances that were being made, very soon the work week would be only 3 or 4 days long, at the most. And we were taught that our culture was on the brink of a golden age, where we were going to have more leisure time, and life was going to be so sweet, because we were going to have time to pursue all of those things that we do not have time to do now. That's what we were taught in school. This is true time. That is not exactly what happened. With being more and more connected, stress levels have skyrocketed. Employers demand more and more of their employees. One person is now expected to do the work formerly done by three. Most people in the workplace have so much on their plates, we are all on the brink of snapping. And as much as we all would like to convince ourselves and others that we have a handle on life, all of the pressure manifests itself in the ways that we treat each other, especially our families. There are many things in life that cause stress. There are many things in life that rock us to the core. But there are a few things in life that can break our hearts more than any other, and that is the loss of a child. You know, there are many ways to lose children. We can lose them by a tragic death. We can lose them by ignoring them. We can lose them due to broken relationships. And we can lose them by failing to develop in them the strength of character that they will need in life to resist evil. In our scripture reading for this Mother's Day morning, Elisha did not know what had happened, but he guessed that something was not right with the Shunammite woman. Otherwise, this mother, the Shunammite, would not be traveling to find him. Elisha sent his servant out to greet this wealthy woman with three questions. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? On this Mother's Day, I want to challenge you with the fact that these three questions are as relevant today for us as they were when they were first spoken almost 3,000 years ago. Now let's look at what's going on in this account and these three questions. Elijah, which was a name that meant my God is salvation, was a fearless prophet of God about 800 years before Jesus was born. He spent most of his time wandering around the countryside proclaiming the word of God. One place that he frequented was Shunem. It was kind of a center place, a small village in the middle of the country, kind of like a hub that he operated from. Since he was there a lot, he got to know one of the couples in the village, and the wife became Elisha's close friend. Now, she liked him so much that she asked her husband to make a small room for him up on the roof of their home. And she even furnished it with a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp. Now, this is what we need to know. This was no small gift. In fact, for them, in their culture, it was over the top. Now, just think about your own home. Ladies, how would your husband receive it if you asked him to build a room onto your house for a traveling evangelist that just popped by every now and again? Now, I'm not sure how your husband would receive that, but John would question me extensively and wonder what the color of the sky was in my world. It is the rare husband who would think that this was an appropriate thing to do. You catch my drift? Well, the same with the Shunammite woman. This was no small gesture of hospitality. This was going the second mile for this guy. Obviously a prophet of God, but for all intents and purposes, he was a stranger to them. This was such a huge gesture that to show his gratitude, Elisha calls her to his room. And she stands in the doorway, which would have been required by etiquette. And Elisha says to her, "What every woman who wants children, but who is not able to have them, wants to hear. You will hold a child in your arms." Now, you can almost hear the pain in her heart as she responds, "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." 1 year passes. The Bible says, just as Elijah had said, the boy is born. Everybody lives happily ever after. Well, that's not usually the way life works. And so, no, that is not what happened. One day, as the young boy is out in the fields with his dad, he suffers a heat stroke. He is taken home to his mother where he dies in her lap. Now, anyone here this morning who is a mother can understand this woman's response. Oh, man, I told him not to mislead me. Now, mothers, I just want to ask you something this morning. Is it well with you in your lives? Considering the enormous responsibilities on the shoulder of every woman who is sitting in a pew here this morning, is it well with you? You know, there is a general wisdom that sociologists speak of. So go the mothers in a society, so goes the society. So what that means is if the women of a particular culture give in to temptation, and if they let their morals and character slip, then it won't be long until the rest of the land goes with her. The American poet William Ross Wallace is most famous for writing this quote. You will recognize it. You won't know it's him that said it, though. Remember the name, William Ross Wallace. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. In other words, societies don't depend on presidents or on prime ministers or on kings. Societies stand or fall dependent on mothers at the crib. Children will live out the life they see in their mother's eyes. Children will live out the life they feel in the touch of their mother's hand. Children will live out the life they hear described in the words that come from their mother's lips. Now look at this woman in 2 Kings. She's rich. Now she was for sure caring and nurturing, and you can see it by the way she adopts Elisha. That's indeed what she was doing. She adopted him. She respected her husband. She consulted him on projects around the house. She was faithful to her husband despite the lack of children. And she obviously would have made a good mother, but she didn't have any children. But she used her childlessness as just a different way to serve the Lord. And that's what faithful, childless women have done down through the ages. Now I ask you, what is required of a mother to make, of a woman to make her a good mother? I recently saw statistics that showed that a family that eats together at least 3 times a week. Now before you get all upset, just know that that can include McDonald's or other fast food places. Okay. It doesn't always have to be at home. Okay. But a family that sits down together and actually shares a meal together wherever it is 3 times a week has a 45% greater chance that their children will not use drugs. Now, don't miss the point. Okay, so that's about 50, half, okay? Now, don't miss the point. It is not that there is something that mystical occurs while we eat, although we do love our potlucks, but there's nothing mystical going on there. It is simply to suggest that when we eat together, we participate in a support group. You know, and that's the key, that we need to feel secure, all of us. We need to feel like we are part of a unit, part of a family unit. We need to be somewhere where we feel acceptance. Now, we all know that there are no manuals that come with parenting. But it does seem to make some common sense that we need to get back to some things that our parents and grandparents used to do, like listening and being there for one another, so there are not so many loose cannons traveling around the country these days. Now, I do not know what our boys will remember most about us, about John and I. I don't know what they're going to remember about our family. And maybe I don't want to know. But the one thing that I hope that they can say is that Mom and Dad were there for us no matter what. And you know what? That'll be good enough. That'll make all the difference. Ladies, is it well with you? Moms, is it well with you? The hours are endless. The talents that you must have are many. The patience is unending, and the financial pay is awful. Ladies, is it well with you? And let me ask you also, is it well with your husbands? Is your husband living up to his family responsibilities? You know, we don't make any bones about the fact in Christianity that the father is the head of the family. The buck has to stop somewhere. I praise God it's not with me. We make no bones about the fact that a father must answer someday for the way he fulfilled his responsibilities as the head of the family. But let's just be honest, okay? I don't live in a box. Oftentimes, it is the mother who gently prods the man to take his title seriously, ever so gently. Now, did you notice what the father did in this story? Let me read it again, verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he says to his father. And his father told a servant, carry him to his mother. The father told the servant, a servant. Why is he telling a servant to do what is obviously his job? It looks as though the boy passed out. Verse 20 said the servant had to actually lift him up off of the ground. Okay. The boy was not just whining. You know, he wasn't just complaining to get out of work. The boy was seriously ill. Maybe it was a heat stroke. Who knows? We're not told. But the father keeps right on working while the servant carries the limp body of his son back to his mother. What in God's name was this man thinking? In our culture, there are so many boys and girls crying out for their dads. Dad, my head, my head. Father, my heart, my heart. Dad, my soul, my soul. And what do many fathers do? They keep right on working. I ask you, Mom, ladies, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? And lastly, I ask you, is it well with your child? Notice the devotion of this mother. She was not about to let this little boy go without a fight. He had died in her arms, and she was not going to let him go. Moms, we know we are very fierce when it comes to our children. Children need to be protected. And it gets so ingrained in us that we tend to keep protecting them even when they grow into men and women, much to their chagrin. But at some point, we need to loosen our grip. Notice that this mother let her young son go out in the field with his dad. She was just letting him be a big boy. She was encouraging him by loosening up her apron strings. Now, there is risk in that, but there is also risk in coddling our children. Now, contrast the devotion of this mother with the devotion of this father. And in the end, I mean, I don't want to beat him up too much, but I don't think, you know, there's no evidence that there was much devotion from this dad to this child. But the child is near death. The dad doesn't even pick him up. He tells the servant to do it. It's as if the task is beneath him. And here it is. You know, this is one of the evils of our age. Fathers who think that fatherhood is not cool, or that fatherhood somehow is beneath them, that somehow they have more important things to do with their lives. Do you know there is a way that we can tell how much of a problem this has become in our culture? There is a commercial on television that has a famous wrestler who is playing with his daughter. You've seen it, haven't you? The postman is coming up the walkway, and she sees this famous wrestler singing and doing I'm a Little Teacup with his daughter. We've all seen it, right? Some serious body art going on with that guy. Okay, I don't follow professional wrestling. But fortunately, they have a little tag at the bottom, professional wrestler, and his name I wouldn't have known. But when something becomes such an epidemic that a commercial has to be produced and aired at great cost to encourage dads to be dads, we know there's a serious problem going on in our culture, right? But listen to how this story ends. So the Shunammite says to Gehazi, everything is all right. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy laying dead on his couch. He went in, he shut the door on the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And as he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm again. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched upon him once more. And the boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and went out. I thank God that this mother was that devoted to her child. So devoted that we can read about it almost 3,000 years later to see how important it is for us to be faithful and devoted and trusting servants of God, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Ladies, there are so many things in life that cause stress. And I know that the demands are great and that you have great weights on your shoulder. But remember, children will live out the life they see in their mother's eyes. And they will live out the life they feel in the touch of their mother's hand. And children will live out the life they hear described in the words that their mother speaks. And it is a pretty tall order. We are so fortunate that we don't do it alone. Teaching children their heritage, us and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them the love of God in Christ and helping them grow in that knowledge. We and the Holy Spirit. It's a 20-year job. And that's only if you're lucky. But keep telling them about the love of God in Christ, because that is our number one job. Ladies, is it well with you? Moms, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, it is not always well with us. And we pray when it isn't well, or it isn't well with our husband, or it isn't well with our children, that we would remember that we are not alone. That you are by our side. And to the degree that we permit it, you will give us strength to carry on and to fulfill the responsibilities that we have as your faithful children. We pray it all in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.